Our world is dying, politicians are lying, and just when you feel like crying, sit and have a listen to people who have shit themselves.
Hello, I'm Claudia.
And I'm Lois.
And we're the hosts of the Poodcast, the podcast trying to break the poo taboo. Oh, shit, I still haven't thought about another thing that you break, like the way that you snap a Cadbury's Dairy Milk right before you cry your feelings out.
Like the way you smash a Terry's chocolate orange into smithereens.
Do you know what? Someone bought a Terry's chocolate orange in for our staff this week.
Oh.
A mint one.
Oh, divine.
A Terry's chocolate
all over that.
Mint. Shoot me.
No,
that's so
for me.
Rude.
No, that's for me. That is for me. I'm the wrong audience. That is right up my street. Absolutely delicious.
I was so cross. I literally looked at it and I thought, what a hateful crime. That is just... Way to knock me when I'm down.
I cannot wait to see that on BBC London News later. Wow. Gosh, the crime in London really has reached whole new heights.
You know, if I needed to find something, you know, you've got to whack it on something, I'd whack it on her face. Right on her nose.
What a violent turn this has taken. Like violent diarrhoea. Sudden, unexpected, and not very welcome, to be honest. Not very welcome at all.
Low, how's your bum and your tum?
Okay, well, I don't know. I feel like you take a breather. I will talk a minute. My mum and tum... Fine. Absolutely good. Fine. I've got over the intro curse of the Poodcast. However, what I did want to talk about very briefly is toilet etiquette. And I feel like this always happens to me. I'm just that type of person. Maybe I attract it. But when you go into the toilet after someone who is obviously, you know, had a bit of an event in there, why is it always me who goes in afterwards? Because then you're in the awkward situation of being the one to come out and everyone then thinking it was you because you walked into the real culprit. No one's got any evidence that it wasn't you. So what do you do? Do you come out and be like, oh, sorry about the smell. It wasn't me. Oh, sorry about the mess. Wasn't me. Do you try and clear it up? Do you wait extra long? Like, what is the right thing to do?
I think you need one of those, wasn't it? Like in Game of Thrones where they made that woman walk down the path as they all shouted, shame, shame. You need a bell that you can ring as soon as you go in, like alarming everybody with your alibi that you came in after the act had been done.
Oh God, it's almost like an opposite graffiti. Lo was not here at 3:42. I wasn't there. I didn't do it. And yet someone is obviously queuing up after me and they're going to think I did do it. So,
but also, like, you know, are you really, you know, if the person walked out and they had done it, would you think any less of them? Would your opinion be changed?
Yes, okay. To be honest, yes.
Well, then, yeah, then I can, then in that point, then I can see your predicament because they're going to be pissed off with you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss of your dignity.
Well, you know, just the working day, it's tough. It's tough in the life of me. But if that's the most thing I've been troubled about with my bum and my tum this week, then I think we're doing okay. We really are.
I think we're doing great.
Right back at you. Go on.
Smashing it.
What's the goss?
Do you know what? Yeah, like not too bad. It's been okay. That I'm actually still finding vegan food is helping.
Go on. Big
I'm
up the vegans.
I'm cutting away from, big up the vegans. Like it is helpful. It's not like, I'm not going to pretend that I didn't eat chorizo last night, but it's definitely having some sort of effect. But what I wanted to talk to you about, which is hilarious that you brought up toilet etiquette, was my friend Jade is in Japan at the minute. And she messaged me this morning and it's a sign that she has found in a toilet in Tokyo. And it says precautions and requests when using the toilet. And there's five things, most of which I'd say are, you know, fairly understand. No smoking.
Fine.
Please do not flush anything except toilet paper. Sure, we hear you. Fine. Please sit down when using this toilet.
Ooh, okay.
All right. Some people like to hover, but, you know, it's fine.
Fine.
Do not stand on the toilet.
Oh, of course.
And then there's a really fun photo. The person is stood... As if they've got a penis and they're going to wee into the toilet. Like they're not stood as in like stood with their back to it, like waving at their mates from us. They're stood kind of in like a, you know, like a chair pose in yoga.
Okay.
Trying to aim it, but whilst something. But the one that I liked the most and the reason why she sent it to me is number 5. Please refrain from staying in the toilet for a long time. After a certain amount of time has passed, the Disaster Prevention Center will be notified.
No.
And I'm like,
no.
Yeah, no shit, mate. If, the Disaster Prevention Center in my head is doing laps and laps. The alarms are going off. People have been fired. The building has been shut down.
Oh God! But the thing is, who's deciding what is a long time?
What's the time limit? Is it not like Zoom where it's like you've got 8 minutes left before the prevention disaster team is called?
But then what? Are they going to come knock on the door? Are they going to come take you out? What if you're still sat there? What if you're like, I'm sorry, I'm right in the middle of something.
Also, like, how they're getting in. I'm thinking, like, you know, on Monsters, Inc., when they all come down when the sock is come down with, like, the hazmat suits.
Oh, like, yeah. I'd like that.
You know, to remove the offence. Like, I understand it to some extent, but that, if you are worried about what people are going to do in the toilet, do not make me more anxious that you're going to come and get me for
absolutely
the disaster.
Absolutely not.
Course.
No one has ever relaxed when there is a timer ticking next to them. Ever. Mm-mm. Oh gosh, no. Wow. Plus, you know, if you're really thinking about it, it's just going to encourage strain. It's going to bring, I mean, I'd love to know the hemorrhoid rates in Japan, you know, from the forceful pushing of the toilet.
Do you know, Japan, we've had a few listeners in Japan over the years, but it's never been a steady one. And maybe they're like, you guys just don't get it.
We don't. Like, we don't. They're like, this episode is way too long. Here. Can't listen to this in the toilet. They need 3 minutes max, bite-sized chunks.
The team are already banging on the door. Yeah. So no, I just thought I'd share that with everybody. What privilege we have in the UK that we can just leisurely explode.
True. For all you know, recording this from the toilet, because I just can. I absolutely can. I will sit here all day long.
It's freedom. And I feel like today's episode is all about freedom of speech. We're speaking to the incredible Sophie Taylor, who has been spreading that turd word around. Because of her IBS symptoms, a freaking lover. She's an absolute class act, and everything I've seen her in, she always looks so glamorous, but then is speaking about the most gruesome things. And for that, I love her. And we've got a humdinger of an episode coming up. So stay tuned. Lois, you look like you're about to piss yourself. Are you okay?
I'm just laughing at you. I'm just absolutely laughing at you. I'm holding it in. I'm absolutely holding it in.
Don't do it too long. The disaster team will be knocking on your door.
This week, we're joined by BBC's future food star and IBS awareness advocate, Sophie Taylor. In 2023, Sophie became the youngest ever candidate of Gordon Ramsay's grueling competition, but whilst filming began to suffer debilitating IBS symptoms that affected her performance and experience on the show. Since her diagnosis, she's become determined to raise awareness about the condition and has become an ambassador for the IBS network. Welcome, Sophie. How's your bum and tum?
Well, luckily, good today. I've had some like flare-ups the last couple of days, actually, but then today woke up feeling quite good. But I also haven't eaten yet, so at the moment, good though.
Honestly, on my way home just now, my husband asked me to pick him up like a little date smoothie, and I thought, I'll just have a couple of sips. What could possibly go wrong? Terrible. Like, I could have missed this call if I hadn't, you know, pulled through. Don't have a date smoothie with IBS. Terrible
as well.
Idea.
My God, you're asking for trouble. Wow.
A date with the toilet was what it turned into. So, Sophie, for anybody listening that doesn't know your story, can we please switch back right to the beginning? Can you tell us when you first started noticing your IBS symptoms?
Yeah, so mine was actually a bit of a funny one. So the first time I had like symptoms of IBS was when I was basically filming a TV show. So it wasn't the best scenario. So it was when I was filming season 2 of Future Food Stars, the Gordon Ramsay show, which aired, I think, a year ago, like the end of this month. So it aired a year ago, but we filmed it the year before. So it was literally just like, we got to the hotel because you have to isolate like a couple of days before. So I was at the hotel And then we had like a meeting that we had to do with over Teams, but cameras off because we weren't allowed to know who each other were, like who the other contestants were at the time. So
I laugh now. Not stressful at all.
No, it's not funny, but I laugh now. But I had literally like the phone on the on the toilet floor, and I was literally just had like, I mean, you guys know, but it's like the worst diarrhea ever, like flooding the toilet basically. And yeah, it was, I think it was like a mix of everything. So it was like, you know, kind of new experience of stress. It was like the food that you're eating in the hotel, everything. But I think it's just like, that was the first time I had the symptoms, but I didn't know it was IBS at that time. So I thought, oh, maybe it will go away. I'll just carry on. It'll be fine. It'll probably go away. Like, I don't really know. But then, it didn't. But that's how I first like discovered the symptoms.
And how did you manage that while you're, I mean, Gordon Ramsay, I feel like, could be responsible for giving lots of people IBS symptoms. Like, you know, it just makes you like clench. Like, how did you continue filming? How did you get through this process whilst having diarrhea and cramps and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible but I think it was also scary because I didn't know like what it was, if that makes sense at the time. But then we went to like another hotel afterwards, for example, like the night before we started filming, and that was closer to location. And then I remember like, I mean, it happened like whilst I was there, like, cause again, I didn't know what it was. So I just kept on kind of going and thought it would go away. And, there was a time where I was literally in the bath, like crying. And again, sorry to be TMI, but like,
no, you're in the right place.
The bath was brown, like it was really bad, and I didn't know. But I just kept on hoping it would stop. But no, to be fair, the show, like the producers were really good. Like, because there were times where I was like, literally, you're mic'd up, and you guys know that you can't stop the flatulence. So it was literally, I was like farting on camera, and it was so embarrassing. Like, I was panicking so much. I was farting on camera, and it was being picked up by the mic so you could hear it. And then I was literally just like panicking so much, and it was just kind of a massive circle. But no, like, I got taken off to see the paramedic. So I missed the filming for some of the scenes, which kind of made it a bit difficult as well. But it was a massive blur to me. Like, people ask me about it now, I'm like, because I was so ill at the time, and I was panicked. I was like worried about my symptoms, and like, you're so conscious of your body as well, because like, you're farting on camera, like you're bloated on camera, you're in pain on camera. But the paramedics are really good, and like they have like a welfare team, and like everyone was really supportive. So I'm grateful for that. Like, they were all really supportive. It's such a blur to me, to be honest.
Yeah, that sound guy, I imagine in his headphones, he must be like, no one is paying me enough for this. This is so intense. This is a very, very different show. For anyone who maybe hasn't seen it, I have seen it, but how would you describe, it's like a nice little character story, what is the premise of Future Food Stars? Like, what is the show about? What were you doing on it?
So it was predominantly about basically putting food and drink entrepreneurs through different tasks, basically, to kind of test their business ability. And then at the end, if you were to win, you're trying to win £150,000, to become partnered with Gordon Ramsay as well. So for Gordon Ramsay to invest £150,000 into your business.
Yeah. That's so cool. And you had dairy-free coffee, dairy-free ice drinks, is that right?
Yeah.
How did that even come about? Because if you're lactose intolerant or intolerant to dairy, how did you decide that this was something that you wanted to do? Because I think for a lot of people with stomach issues, caffeine and them probably is like an absolute no-go, like brings the fear of God in some people. Like, how did that start about for you?
Yeah, so I started that business. So I went on the show when I was 23, and I started the business when I was 17. So back then, like, I didn't have any like issues. So it was more around like adding some health benefits into iced coffee. I was really passionate about iced coffee and nut milks, all of that wasn't really that big back then. So it was about finding like a gap in the market. And obviously, as veganism grew, you then look at your product, and if it is vegan, you're then going to label it as vegan, because, you know, that's the market. So it kind of developed and grew. So at that time, I wasn't dairy intolerant or caffeine intolerant, but I was obviously at that time both caffeine intolerant and dairy intolerant. So I hadn't had, like, I wasn't drinking dairy myself, no.
I need to get my hands on some of that. I still keep powering through with, but dairy I've reduced, but coffee, I just can't seem to let it go. And I know that it's terrible for me. So I'm gonna hit you up with that, Sophie. And did you find that the stress of the show, now knowing that it was IBS and kind of what can go hand in hand with symptoms, do you think the high level pressures of that show was what maybe brought on such severe symptoms? Or have you not found stress kind of played a part in that?
Honestly, I don't really know. I mean, what's interesting is since I've basically spoken to loads of doctors and I've heard this really good analogy, and it was basically like everybody has a bucket in their life, and some people go through like stress and toxins and all this sort of stuff and bad food, and the bucket doesn't ever tip over. So, but then when you have something like you suddenly have symptoms or some sort, that's usually when the bucket's like tipped over. Mm-hmm. That was kind of an analogy that I heard. So I really don't know. I mean, this is the thing. I really don't even now, I don't really know if it was like a mix of everything. Like obviously it is a stressful situation, and like it's a kind of new because you've got cameras in your face and you know, everything. And obviously Gordon Ramsay is Gordon Ramsay, so you kind of like you expect it at the end of the day, like you're in that situation, so you do expect it. So yeah, stress probably played a part of it. I honestly don't know, looking back. I have thought about it a lot. I don't know if that was just my bucket like tipping over, and that was just me first having those symptoms. And it was kind of like, I mean, I did speak to a doctor, and he was like, that was kind of the perfect storm for your symptoms to start, because you've got stress. Yeah. You're probably not eating the best food in the hotels, or like you're on location, they're just giving you stuff. And obviously, like, it's a really highly kind of intense experience. So looking back, maybe, but I still don't know for sure, to be honest.
Really, I love that analogy of the bucket and the symptoms.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah.
Although I'll be honest, I've had a few too many like scenarios where I've had to use a bucket like last minute to like when I'm having symptoms. And if that bucket tipped over, we will be fucked. So I need to keep that bucket very level and very steady. I have spoken about ways to reduce IBS symptoms a million times on this podcast. My big one is that I don't understand why people go on about putting hot water bottles on their stomach when they're having a flare-up, because I love ice and coolness. I keep whacking this bloody mic stand. I love ice and cool things on my stomach. That helps reduce it for me. Have you found on your search anything that has helped reduce your IBS symptoms?
In the short answer, no. I do actually use things like hot water bottles and things like that, but my like all I do is I just try and get through it the best I can, but I haven't really found anything. Like I've taken like Buscopan, I've had like pretty much every medication. My doctor put me on quite high, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, but anitriptyline, so basically an antidepressant to try and do, but everything hasn't really worked. So yeah, I just kind of try and like just get through it, really. Yeah,
and it's difficult when you start kind of playing with other like medications and stuff. Like, I was on amitriptyline for like a nerve damage thing, and because it's antidepressant, like then coming off it is really hard. So it just always seems to be like part and parcel. Like they might find something that might help you, but then it's going to cause something else,
like other side effects. Yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe stay away from. No, not stay away from. I'm not a doctor, but just. Worth being careful.
There's never a perfect storm. I feel like, especially as something stomach related, like IBS or IBD, there's always a trade off. It's like, oh, you can try this medicine, but instead you'll develop a third arm. You're like, stunning. I'm so happy that I'm not bloated anymore and I've got 75 fingers. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Has it affected your relationship with like food or cooking? Because obviously, you know, you went on to Gordon Ramsay with like your business and your drink, and you're I guess like super interested in the health benefits from behind that. Did then, I guess, developing issues with your stomach, and I guess maybe it was often triggered by like food or stress or the environment you're in, how did you then change your relationship with food? Or were you just like, oh fuck it, I will eat what I want to eat and I'll just be flatulent all the way home?
I think like it kind of scared me, to be honest with you, in terms of like realizing that, like, so for example, like with the show, like, I had applied, they'd done obviously like a pilot, and then they'd done a first season and a second season. I had been applying like all the way through. So that was like really, really my dream. So then to have that kind of like ruined by like my IBS, kind of like, I got through a stage where I was like, I'm not even gonna try and fix it because the doctors won't take it seriously. And I don't want to go through the rigmarole of having like loads of tests. I obviously started going through that process, and I mean, I've done weird stuff. Like I've been really desperate. So I've gone on a carnivore diet, like a strict carnivore diet.
Whoa.
Where I was literally just eating and plain, because I heard it was so good for like IBS, autoimmune conditions, IBD. So I went on like a strict carnivore diet, which lots of people disagreed with that. And that was literally just me eating plain meat, like no seasoning, no, like all I would have is water, salt, and then plain meat. Oh, and I also grew up vegetarian. Delicious. So like my whole childhood I was vegetarian.
Oh, wow. Going
from being like vegetarian my whole childhood, and then I wasn't vegetarian or vegan when I was on the show, but then I've never been a big meat eater, and then I went from then going straight into like being full on carnivore when I don't even really like meat. And I had done that for like 6 months straight. Like didn't even,
wow.
The thing with carnivore is if you even have like a lettuce leaf or something when you're on carnivore, or like anything, because your microbiome's completely changed, like you get acidic diarrhea for the first 2 weeks. When you then do have something, you completely react. So there'd be times where I'd be like throwing up in the train because I was so hungry, and obviously you can't buy plain meat that's not being cooked in like some sort of weird oil or something out. So I'd done that because I was like so desperate for 6 months, and it stopped. I always say, like, because I got a lot of flack for that on social media as well, but I wasn't ever saying that this is the cure. I was just trying to figure it out myself. So it did actually stop a lot of my symptoms, but I didn't have like a bowel movement for like a month sometimes, which obviously isn't healthy. And you also can't sustain living. Like I have predominantly diarrhea symptoms. So I went from that to then having like no bowel movements for like a month, but then you also can't live off that. That's not, literally going to the butchers, and then they thought I was crazy because I would have like, I'm sitting there eating raw steak, and they were like, I don't want to take you on a date. And I was like, well, fair enough. But she's back. Like I used to cut up the sirloin steak into little pieces and use chopsticks and just like eat it.
No.
Like raw. Oh, just, yeah.
She's cultured. Yeah. I love that. Make it a bit more exotic. Sure.
It's fashionable. And speaking of social media, I was watching some of your amazing videos where you look absolutely stunning. You're so glammed up on these red carpets and you're getting into the poo taboo. What has been the reaction from people when, you know, they ask you about what you're doing at the minute and you're like, I'm here to talk about shit. How have they responded? Yeah.
It is awkward, especially like if I've been interviewed and it's like a man as well, because obviously you're at like a glam event and suddenly you are talking about IBS. But I think it's like a good opportunity. To be fair, like it's nice because it's something that people actually like do allow you to talk about, and they willingly kind of ask the questions. Like if you don't bring it up, they're interested and they'll ask you about it. So it gives me like a way to kind of help to raise awareness and to talk about it. And there's been times where I've been on that carpet and I've literally just like my stomach's really, really bloated and I had really bad diarrhea that morning. And so sometimes it's worked out really well where I can just talk about it based on how I'm exactly feeling. But no, I'm really grateful like that it's awkward because you're at a glam event and you sometimes don't want to talk about it. And I still, even though I talk about opening, I always say I still do get embarrassed. Like sometimes I do find it embarrassing. But yeah, I'm really grateful that I have like, that opportunity to kind of talk about it. And even like the press coming off the show, like they allowed me, they were really good. Like the show was really good. They allowed me to, because I was being taken up and like seeing the paramedics. It was on the BBC website when they introduced us, and they mentioned my IBS and like what had happened on the show. And all the press coming off of that was about that as well. And you have to run, like if you've got, you're getting press and they have to be involved in everything because you've got to kind of, you're following a structure. So they allowed me to do everything, and yeah, I'm really grateful that I was able to do that and kind of turn, I look back on it as a positive experience now, but what seemed like a negative experience kind of turned it into a positive one. So yeah, I'm grateful for like any opportunity that I get, and like grateful to you guys as well, like any opportunity that I get to talk about it, I'm really grateful.
it's just really positive to like see that people are responding to these conversations in this way.
Yeah.
Like, I think even in the last 5 years, having people like yourself and having a lot of people kind of discussing these things so eloquently and with good humor on social media, I think it's made everybody just chill out a little bit. And it's like, oh, okay, we can actually discuss these things and no one's gonna, I feel like you're getting more flack for eating steak with chopsticks than you are for talking about diarrhea, which is, you know,
That was horrible. That was so horrible. Like, but I get it. Like, there were so many comments about, you know, you're promoting unhealthy. I wasn't promoting it. I was always saying, like, this is just what I'm trying. But no, you're right. And I think the good thing is, like, just like trying to break. I think you're right. Like, when you say it with a bit of humor as well, it helps to kind of break the taboo a little bit so that you can talk 100%. About it. So I think, like, having those opportunities is really good. Like, I search it on YouTube all the time to see like if people talk about it. There's not as much as what I feel there should be. So I feel like it's good now we're getting into that space where we can have like exactly like podcasts like this and we can talk about it like with humor because it's true. It's like it's so true. And we all know what each other's talking about because we've all experienced it. So
And on the topic of humor, we always ask our guests if they have any amusing toilet tales or medical mishaps to share with the listeners. Do any stories come to mind for you, Sophie?
Nothing really specific. I think just really like my worst one was probably just being in literally a brown bath in the hotel room whilst filming, just literally just sitting there in a brown bath. Like, and I was going through so much toilet roll as well. Like, I would get to the hotel and every time I'd have to be like, can I have more toilet roll? I was asking like the runners to get me like more water as well. Cause I literally was like going for like buckets of water. Like, it was crazy. Yeah. Now I look back, I can kind of look at it and be like,
God.
Yeah.
Your mud bath era.
That's basically what it is.
And what advice would you give to anyone who is like going through it or is maybe like thinking that they've got IBS or has just had like a diagnosis of IBS? Because I guess it's amazing that there are people like you. Like, you're saying that you're looking up on YouTube and you're seeing if people are talking about it. But obviously there are people who are probably looking at your stuff and your content and you're a real role model for them. Like, what advice would you give to someone who's like, oh my God, I'm sat in my own shit in the bath and I don't know what to do about it. Like, what would you say for them to do other than maybe take out the plug and have a shower?
Do that first. First and foremost.
So I feel like I'm still like very much going through it. Like, I'm still having symptoms, still suffering. And I think just like trying to, the good thing that has come off of like talking about it from, I think probably my main advice would be like to talk about it, because I think then it's like, it builds a community. And then also, like, I've got opportunities. Like, at the moment I'm doing a course with like this company called Unique Created You, and that happened through social media, and that's all about helping you to, you know, low FODMAP diet and kind of taking you through on a one-to-one personal basis in terms of like Pilates and stress management and things like that. And I'm still very much going through like the journey with that and with everything. But I'd say, like, just if you talk about it, then the amount of people that like message me and say like, oh, have you tried this, and I try everything, but you never know like who could have, like, I don't want to say the answer, because I think it's more than one answer, but like who could genuinely help you or tell you something you haven't tried or something to help you. So I'd say my main piece of advice is like just talk about it. And like, and I also hate saying this, because I know it's so rude. It's really hard when you're going through it, but like, don't give up. Because I was literally at that point where I was like, what's the point? Like, it's ruined this opportunity for me. Like, I can't do the things that I want to do going forward, so I might as well just kind of give up. And I did feel like that for a long time. But even though like the progress isn't linear, like you'll feel better for a while, then you will have like a dip, and it is like a long journey. But I feel like what I am improving, and what I know now is like even just increasing my knowledge on everything. Like, the more you talk about it, the more you talk to people, the more you find out, like, it does, you do get better, you start to feel better. And I think just like, definitely don't give up, even though I know it's hard, but don't give up.
Can we get that on a t-shirt, please?
I know it's hard, but don't give up.
yeah on the back, white. Right, back to front. No. Terrible. They'll never sell it.
A good USP.
Yeah, you never know. It could work. Sophie, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you. And I feel like if everybody can kind of come at IBS symptoms with your energy and positivity and resilience and good humour, I think we're all on a better track. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. I've really enjoyed talking to you. And yeah, I'm really grateful to have this opportunity. So thank you.
Well, 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 I got to say, I bought a Lush bath bomb because I was having a bit of a rubbish week. And I don't know if I want a bath for a little while.
I would say if ever you see Lush release a limited edition called Mud Bath, I would avoid at all possible costs. Although, you know what? Sustainable.
Run like the wind.
It grows plants.
Also, I just love that she told us that.
I know.
What an absolute babe.
Iconic. Absolutely iconic. I respect that a lot, actually.
She is.
Really respect that.
So do I. What a queen. Love her. Love her iced coffees. Need to get me one. Love her.
Maybe we should test them for the next Phenomenal. Episode. We should have a drink sponsor of choice.
We should. I'll be honest. I've got to stop making promises that I don't commit to. I'm going to try that product out. And anybody listening to this podcast might be like, she's a pathological liar. Like, I just keep forgetting.
Look, the thing is, if I would love to be gifted said product, you know, it makes it a lot easier if it showed up at my front door. I didn't have to think about it. So if the, you know,
sure.
Flying back, but I'm still waiting on the belly button debloater, to be honest. But
oh my God. Also, while we're on that and telling people that they should email us at thepoocoshofficial@gmail.com, we heard back from the gorgeous Grace, who was the one that told us about the belly button healing
Grace.
Wand. She said, thank you so much for discussing this. I was pissing myself. Well, we tried to steer people away from that on this podcast, but honey, you do what you got to do. She said, I never noticed the price before. Even on their official website, it's still £85. She said, I look forward to hearing about your makeshift belly button healing trials. That's what I'm saying. Like, we can't promise this stuff and not. We've got to start the healing trial soon.
All right.
I think I'll wait for your outcomes before I experiment with it. The belly button smells remind me of the time I bought my friend a belly button brush for their birthday. And in quotes, it said, for the person who has everything.
That is an amazing Secret Santa gift. Oh, wow. I wish it wasn't March. That is so good. That is so good. You know,
we have... No, you go.
Please.
I was just going to say, one of my uncles, he's like, he's very extravagant, very fashionable Canadian man. And we're always like, what do we buy him? He has everything. And now I'm like, problem solved.
He obviously doesn't have everything. He doesn't have a belly button brush.
I bet he's got a Diamante one, honestly.
Probably.
I bet.
I mean, look, I bet somehow. It's my birthday in 3 weeks, so.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Oh my God.
Just saying.
Oh my God. You really shouldn't have said that.
Please, no, I want a candle or anything, not that, anything but that. Please, no.
I'll get you a candle that you can put inside your belly button. And
like one of those earwax things.
Yeah.
Burns
Would
to
you like
dirt.
That, sweetie?
I bloody love that. I love aging.
Would you like?
It's so good.
Well, thank you and thanks for emailing us back, Grace. And like I said, please do send us any emails of anything going on in your gut or bowel or bladder or just general body-related life. We will be back next week with another episode. Love you. Bye.
See ya.